Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Supervised drug injection sites may be closer to becoming a reality in Massachusetts. Such sites are illegal in the U.S., but they are legal in Canada. So Boston Mayor Marty Walsh visited some sites in Canada last week, and he now says he's open to the idea.
I went from a hard no on safe injection sites to am I in the right place on that?
For part of the trip, Mayor Walsh was joined by Cambridge Mayor Mark McGovern, who said he supports these sites coming to Cambridge.
If we're really going to address our substance abuse crisis, you have to fight this on multiple fronts. You can't get someone into treatment if they die on the street, right? And I think the important thing to remember is that no one has died in a safe injection site, and that is extremely important.
Other cities around the country, including San Francisco and Philadelphia, are in the process of bringing supervised injection sites to their cities, and we want to spend some time looking at how that's playing out there. Joining me is Heather Knight, a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Heather, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Abraham Gutman, an opinion writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hi, Abraham.
Hi.
So let's talk about Philadelphia, because we thought Philadelphia was going to be the first city in the country. What's happening?
Yeah, I thought so, too. So last January, the city announced that it will give basically a green light to private entities to open a safe injection site. At the time, it was called a comprehensive user engagement site. The name evolved to be an overdose prevention site, which is more appropriate. And ever since, we've been waiting. We knew that the city is not going to put taxpayer money into this project. And there was a big question of who will do this. Over the summer, former Philadelphia mayor and governor Ed Rendell announced that he's incorporating a non-for-profit called Safe House that will have the intent of opening an overdose prevention site. Mm. And there is some poetic narrative justice in that because when Ed Rendell was mayor in 1992, in the peak of the AIDS crisis, he signed the executive order that allowed Philadelphia to open its first syringe exchange program, Prevention Point. Mm-hmm. So here again, he stands, and he said that if this will be deemed by law enforcement as illegal, he said, arrest me first. So again, echoing his sentiment from the 90s.
Right.
And since then, they've incorporated. They have hired recently Dr. Jen Bowles, a very esteemed harm reduction scholar who came back to Philadelphia after a time in California as their executive director. And now we're waiting to see where and how they get the funding and where will be the location.
Okay. And Heather, in San Francisco, what happened there?
Right around the same time, a year ago, January of 2018, our director of public health announced that San Francisco would actually become the first city in the country to open a safe injection site. I guess there was a bit of a race between San Francisco and Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
But neither one has done it yet.
So
it was all planned for the summer of 2018, but the problem came when a state senator from San Francisco introduced legislation at the California state level to allow San Francisco to create a pilot program for 4 years with a safe injection site and not face any blowback from the state government. And the legislature here did approve that, but Governor Jerry Brown vetoed it, and it's kind of been stalled ever since. He vetoed it in October, and there's not really been any progress since then. But we do have a new governor, Gavin Newsom, so it looks like the same state senator will try again and is more hopeful that Gavin Newsom would sign off, but he wouldn't do that until the fall of this year, so it's still quite a ways out.
So it's still a race between the two of you, between the two cities we were on the line with.
Very slow race.
Well, I just want to play a bit of tape from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, because he spoke with WBUR after he visited these sites in Canada last week, and he said there are some issues that he's still thinking about in terms of what he thinks needs to be addressed before he could endorse the sites. Let's listen to a bit of what he said.
You need a consistent funding mechanism. We'd have to get a buy-in from the federal government, but also the state and local governments. And then we would have to, you have to build out these facilities. Even if the legislature approved this tomorrow, we cannot do it.
So I don't think Boston's necessarily going to be in this race. But I wonder, let's talk about funding, because, Abraham, you had said initially no tax money going toward the facility in Philadelphia, and funding sounds like it might be an issue there, or has Philadelphia figured out how such a site might be funded?
So SafeHouse is looking for donation fundraising their way to a site, which is a shame in a sense, because there should be taxpayer money going to this. One thing that is often glanced on when we talk about overdose prevention sites is that they save a lot of money. Opioid addiction and other drug addictions are not necessarily a very expensive issue if they are not neglected. So, for example, unsafe injection, which is the alternative to safe injection, using non-sterile and clean water, using reusing syringes, causes abscesses, wounds, heart infections, you know, can transmit diseases such as HIV and hepatitis C, which all incur really high healthcare costs on the taxpayer. And by every analysis, one that's been done in San Francisco and one that's also been done on Philadelphia specifically, shows that safe injection sites, overdose prevention sites, depending on how they're called, save a lot of money and are cost efficient. So there's even an efficiency imperative to them.
Okay, so it would basically be donations. And Heather, what about San Francisco?
The city kind of wanted to keep its hands off of it. It wanted to approve, give it the go-ahead, but not be the one to actually run it. So our plan would have a nonprofit, possibly Glide Memorial Church or another nonprofit, actually be the site of a safe injection site. It would probably be located in our Tenderloin neighborhood, which is where most homeless and injection drug users already are, and most services for them. And it would probably be in a site that's already working with that population, so as not to irritate neighbors who wouldn't want a new service in their neighborhood, since it would be in one that's already kind of offering a similar thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big issue, of course, is illegal drugs. And we actually, our U.S. attorney in Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling, has come out quite strong about these sites and reminding folks that they are absolutely illegal, and he will prosecute them to, I think they call it, the fullest extent of the law. We interviewed him about this a while ago. He said these are a terrible idea. Here's a little clip of that interview.
The issue with supervised injection sites is that there are federal laws that prohibit distributing controlled substances, facilitating distribution of controlled substances, or maintaining a premises where controlled substances are stored or distributed or things like that. And supervised injection sites would fall under those laws. They would also fall under civil and criminal forfeiture laws that would allow the federal government to seize a premises in which that kind of activity was going on.
So really, those are two prongs, but we've also heard of a third since that interview with Lelling. So I can go after you because the drugs are illegal, says U.S. Attorney Lelling. I can also go into civil forfeiture laws and take the property if there are any, because it's being maintained because of drug proceeds. And also, he has since said that medical folks could be held liable for what's happening here. So with all of those things, were you hearing similar things from law enforcement in your communities, Abraham?
Yeah, so Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein told the AWHY, the NPR affiliate here in Philadelphia, a similar statement after his New York Times op-ed where he said that he will crack down on it. Our U.S. attorney, again, the statements are almost identical. I would like to push back on the notion that that overdose prevention sites are illegal. There is no law that says that they're illegal. There is a law that is known as the crack house statute that is intended to prevent, again, houses that sell crack, as in the clip that you played, distribution of drugs, sale of drugs, storage of drugs. This is not what overdose prevention sites do. So there is a very strong case that the law was never intended to also encompass a public health intervention. Mm. And again, it's worth looking back when during the AIDS crisis in the early 1990s, syringe exchange programs were illegal under, in a much more explicit way, by the way. There were laws in every state that says that the distribution or possession of syringes without prescription is illegal. And yet activists decided that while people are dying, we can't wait for the law. And open sites, open syringe exchanges, mm-hmm. Some U.S. attorneys, some attorney generals tried to prosecute them and failed largely. Mm-hmm. Either judges dismissed the cases, juries found it that there's a necessity defense, meaning that they broke the law, but it was for a good reason, which is public health. And other cities like Philadelphia decided by local ordinance to give authority and give the backing of the city. So my response is bring it. There is really a good case legally, and it could be challenged. There is no reason to go through that process. And also on civil forfeitures, there's no proceeds from drugs in the overdose prevention sites. So I just don't see the legality as something that is as clear as a bunch of law enforcement officials contend that it is.
But Philadelphia is certainly aware that this can be a major legal fight. There's a major law firm, right, that the nonprofit, I think, has retained just in case.
Yeah, it might be challenged. And I could argue that, you know, maybe hopefully, if I'm trying to, you know, be optimistic for a second, maybe it's a good thing if an overdose prevention site is challenged, but meanwhile is allowed to operate, so we can have a ruling by a federal court that gives an exemption for public health interventions from the crack house statute.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, I just want to get to Heather. Heather, legally in San Francisco, what are you hearing from law enforcement officials there?
Well, this being San Francisco, nobody here is saying they would do anything about it. The police and district attorney are pretty hands off, and the only worry is coming as what the federal government would do after Rod Rosenstein's statements in the New York Times and elsewhere that a church or a nonprofit or whoever actually housed it would be at risk, and even the people who work for the nonprofit would be at risk of arrest. That's what they're worried about. Mm-hmm. Of course, also San Francisco already has a big target on its back with the Trump administration for a whole host of reasons, including the sanctuary city issues, Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi being the Speaker of the House. And I don't think there's a huge drive to challenge them even more on this immediately unless we can get state backing, which we haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like we're still a ways away, but if you had to wager, which one of you would win the race here? Heather.
I think we're going to get the governor's sign off this fall, and then it'll happen pretty quickly because the plan's pretty much in place. So I would say maybe within a year we'll mm-hmm. actually do it, but you never know.
Within a year? How about you, Abraham?
I definitely hope that 2019 is the year that we have a running overdose prevention site, and I will say multiple sites because that's really what we need. I hope that both cities will have one or a few like yesterday.
All right. Well, we'll see. I think that means you're saying you think Philadelphia is going to win. Abraham Gutman, an opinion writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Heather Knight, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, how to measure fake news on Twitter. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.